I think I was conflicted because I knew that this wasn't going to end in any good way. And I felt awful that I couldn't bring this baby to a healthy term. Do you know, I couldn't bring him to life, essentially, and I couldn't.
But rationally, you had absolutely no hand, act, or part in that failure. It was nothing to
No,
do with
and
you.
yet I had to make the decision to end it and go somewhere else to do that. I had to feel like I was going against what is morally the correct thing to do. Morally, you should be able to stand by the baby, and the baby comes first. And for me, my baby that was already here came first. Do you know that he's here? He needed me.
Is there an implicit feeling here that in going to England to have an abortion, you were doing the bad thing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I felt shame. I felt like when I was getting on the plane, when I was going there, and I'm worried about security. I'm worried about what other people are going to think. Oh, she's going to Liverpool. She has no bags. I wonder what she's doing. Is she one of the 12 that travel every day, or, you know, and I was on the plane and I was crying, and I didn't want the air hostess to see that I was crying because then she might know. I resented that. I resented feeling like I needed to hide what I was doing. I needed to try and find a story. I needed to try and keep up this facade of everything's normal, everything's fine, when actually I just wanted to crawl into my bed and, yeah, cry.
It was just as easy for me to have two kids as it was for me to have none. It was hard at times, but it was worth it, and we just got on with it, you
The
know?
other view is, though, that these were your salad days. You should have been footloose and fancy free, sowing your wild oats, enjoying yourself, and then going on to take on the responsibilities that you have now,
Yeah.
later on, in your late 20s, early 30s.
Philip, I definitely wasn't someone that was staying in every Saturday night, believe you me. I was out on the town just as much as anybody else was. So, you know, people say that, oh, you know, your life is over, you won't be able to do this, you won't be able to do that. By God, you're able to do it. If you want to do it, you can do it. You know? So I was out on a Saturday night and I was enjoying myself. And I was up Sunday morning early, bright and early, with a small little lady, but it was worth it.
14 years on since her daughter was born, Katrina maintains that she's achieved everything that the 18-year-old her wanted to have done by her mid-30s.
I got a leaving cert and I went on to college and I became a nurse and I travelled the world, the two of us together, and I met my husband, and he took on the father role, and everything I was told that I couldn't get, I got.
And everything that you wanted when you were, say, 17, before you became pregnant, everything that you wanted for your life, have you achieved that now?
Yes, and I'm still achieving it.
The minute I realised I was pregnant, I instinctively thought I need to have an abortion. I really did. I just thought it straight away, and I took that little pin off my jumper straight away. It was my gut reaction, my gut feeling. Everything about it was not right for me. Nothing about it could have gone right as far as I was concerned.
Because everything in your upbringing and in the formation of you as a moral
Yeah.
agent by your teachers and by your religious instructors had been to do the opposite.
Yeah, I don't know why, I don't know how, but the minute I realised I was pregnant, I knew I wanted to have an abortion.
And you never wavered or wobbled from that decision that moment, did you?
Of course, I thought about, you know, could I remain pregnant? Could I bring a child into the world? But everything I thought about that led me to believe that I couldn't do a child any kind of good services as a parent.
And of the various factors at play here, the stigma and the shame of being pregnant, the fact that it was going to almost certainly determine the rest of your life and your ability to parent at that stage, what was the most important of those factors?
My ability to parent and knowing that I could provide a better life somewhere down the line. I had much more to learn in terms of my education and my life.
I want to be a parent, but just not now.
Exactly.
I'll be a better parent.
Yeah.
10 years from now.
Yeah.
Was that sense of helplessness emasculating? Was it wasn't able to do anything for my child?
There was certainly that. I also began to, I would guess, self-loathe. I began to hate myself because of the drinking. My weight ballooned. I found it very hard to look at myself in the mirror. I started to think I was ugly, and my self-esteem began to plummet. Work began to suffer somewhat in that I became short-tempered at work. I was very irritable. And all in all, it was a horrible time. It wasn't me. I can look back now and say that this went on for a long time. It just wasn't me.
Were you aware of what it was that was the catalyst? Was it the breakup of the relationship, or was it the news of the abortion?
It was definitely the abortion. I could definitely describe my life in two main parts, before that and after that. And, you know, it was almost like black and white. It was a sea of darkness. That's the only way I can really describe it.
Obstetricians, clinicians are very reluctant to give these pills to people to self-administer. They feel that it's something that should be given in a clinical setting.
Yeah.
Because there's any number of different things that could go wrong. Were you aware of that?
I was. And I can completely understand after my experience why they feel that that is the right way to go.
You got it from Parcel Motel.
Mm.
Did you take it there and then?
No. So when I took the tablets, I had been out for lunch with my friend, and I took one of the tablets in the bathroom of the restaurant, the one that stops the pregnancy. I then went back into town with her. Everything was fine up until that point. The next tablet you have to take takes about 45 minutes to work, and you have to hold it in your mouth for that amount of time. So I decided to take it on the bus home because that was around the amount of time.
Because you couldn't take it in front of your mother?
I didn't want to. I didn't want to have to explain what I was doing, how I got the tablets.
And in a one-bedroom flat, there's no way that you could have walked around for 45 minutes with something in your mouth and her not realising.
Exactly. So I took them on the bus.
And this is the one that induces the cramping?
This is the one that induces the cramping. And by the time I got to my stop, I was in horrible pain. I felt like I was going to get sick. I jumped off the bus as quickly as I could. I did get sick. I called my mum and I asked her if she could have the door open for me because I've just after getting a really, really heavy period and was in a lot of pain. And I just had to stay on the toilet for near enough to maybe an hour. And just bleeding constantly, clotting and cramping.
Was the bleeding so heavy that you were worried?
I was beginning to worry. I had read stories that, you know, range from people don't feel anything and people who hemorrhage it so bad. And of course, added to that, anxiety levels were at a high then. But eventually I felt the pregnancy pass. And it was just relief.
He was born in the cubicle in the toilet, the women's toilets in Holles Street. He was tiny. He hadn't grown in the 4 weeks. He was the size of an 18-week-old baby. I haven't let myself think whether or not he felt pain, because I don't think he did. But I don't know if that's just me not wanting to think about that. When I was holding him in my hands, because he fit in two palms, he seemed comfortable, he seemed relaxed. He wasn't breathing because his lungs hadn't formed, but he was alive, and he looked like my wife. I could see, I had a brief glimpse of what he was going to look like, and after about 30 minutes he'd passed away. The nurses who'd been checking on us periodically came me in and said, yeah, he's passed now.
John is conflicted. On one level, he appreciated spending that 30 minutes with his son, but with the benefit of hindsight, he says it wasn't worth running the risk of losing his wife or putting her through weeks of torment.
I think those 4 weeks of pretending everything is normal and living under huge strain took its toll on us for a year or two. I think because we were finished and done and out of it by the time that we heard about this Savita Halappanavar case, that it doesn't feel like us. But knowing now that we're really lucky that she didn't develop an infection, we're really lucky that things didn't go really, really, really bad for us.
Out of a conviction born of instinct, an abortion for Lily had never been an option that she wanted to consider.
My decision was immediate. When she suggested the termination, I straight away refused it.
And had you thought through the consequences of this when you made that decision, that this means I am going to be giving birth to a baby that will expire within a matter of minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she made everything pretty clear. And
how did you greet the prospect of that?
Like that, we were just devastated, absolutely devastated. You know, nobody thinks that this is going to happen to them.
But the worst didn't happen. The unthinkable did.
How old are they now?
They're 4.
And how is Lily?
She's fantastic. She had her last appointment with her cardiologist in August, and he said she's just doing absolutely wonderful. He said she may never need intervention again.
I look at the pictures all around me, and she's only a tiny bit more slight, petite perhaps, than her sister Leah, yeah. But you wouldn't really notice anything different about her at all.
No, like that, even the first year of her life, everyone used to say to me, like, Leah would sleep so much, and they'd say, and Lily would be just always awake. So there was no daytime naps for her, and everyone used to say to me, are you sure that that's the
health? Sick one.
Yeah.
In a stunning reversal of everything that they had started to accept, that Lily would die, that there was nothing that could be done, 7 weeks after the fatal diagnosis, the facts changed completely and Lily was thrown a lifeline.
Oh, well, a huge sigh of relief. I was sitting in the chair. I wanted to hug. I wanted to hug the doctor. I did at one point hug a doctor, and my husband had to tell me, you know, stop. But we were just so, so, so happy and grateful that something could be done for her. It was amazing. It was just amazing.
But I remember when I was sitting in the waiting room, there was a woman opposite me and her friend, and they got in the boat over and they were exhausted. And it was just full of Irish accents.
Tell me about the other Irish people.
So there was a woman, and I got chatting to her. Her and her friend had gotten a 6 o'clock boat over that morning, and they were exhausted. And as I was talking to her, she said, I have to be back by tomorrow. I have to be back by tomorrow. And I was asking her why, and she said, I have to be back to go to my shift in Tesco.
In the recovery room after the procedure, there were 9 other women. They all started relating their reasons for having an abortion. By coincidence, many of them were there, like Aoife, for economic reasons.
There was another woman. She worked in Boots, and she just wanted a better job before she had a child. There was one woman, her last baby was stillborn, and she couldn't go through pregnancy again. After that grief, she said she just couldn't do it. She couldn't feel a child growing in her after what happened last time. There was another woman, she had 5 children, she didn't know how to feed them. There was one woman, and her arm was in a cast, and she was in an abusive relationship, and she just didn't see a way out.
Why do you think that you all shared your stories so openly?
I think there was just a sense of sadness and shock. I think we might have taken comfort in each other because it was all different women from all different walks of life. I'll never see any of these women ever again. They'll never see me, and we were bizarrely there for each other when we needed it most.
To me, putting yourself in the situation where you know that your child is going to pass away in your arms sounds like an agony and something that I wouldn't wish on anybody, let alone sign up to myself. But you knew that this was going to be the outcome. Can you explain to me why you went there?
I think that she, for me, to know that she knew, no, she had no, got, there was no harm done to her, and that she was loved throughout her life, and that she was wanted, and her having a disability didn't mean anything less to me or her, make her any less important to me. But to have her and to be with her all her life, and to know that Mammy was with you all your life.
Have you ever reflected on what the impact on your mental health might have been like had you gone against your instincts and had her aborted?
To be honest, and I hate to say this, but I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my kids. I feel that strongly against not ending my child's life, because I would feel terrible. And that's me personally. I couldn't live it myself.
Tanya delivered Kaylee and Lily by C-section. Kaylee was healthy but premature and was taken straight to ICU. Tanya got to spend 2 hours and 10 minutes with Lily.
Physically, she had a cleft lip and a cleft palate. She had a curved spine, and as her brain was protruding out of the nape of her neck. But she was perfect. She had dark, curly hair and big long eyelashes, and I could see my side of the family even in her as well, and it was lovely to get the image to her, to know the face, put the face, name to the face. And
it's the eyelashes and the little button nose and the hair that you saw and that you remember.
Oh yeah, I saw Lily. That's who I saw. I didn't see her condition. I didn't see all the months before. I just saw my daughter.
At Liverpool Women's Hospital, Grace entered the world quietly, stillborn. Her parents had 12 hours with her.
And we held her for hours on end, and we talked and laughed, and we talked about how she'd fit into the family, how she'd be spoiled and the boys would be jealous, you know, just things that couples talk about. And then we had a very early flight back in the morning. I thought I'd have more time, but her labour went on so long that I didn't. We were there since the Sunday, and this was now the Wednesday evening. We kissed her goodbye and we told her we loved her, and we went and we left her, and the midwives took over her care, and we were walking down the corridor, and the midwife was holding her because she took her out of the cot, and I said I can't turn around, but I did before I went out the door, and that was the last time we'd ever get to see her.
Was it important time, those 12 hours?
Hugely important. I knew Grace the minute I became pregnant with Grace. I knew who she was, even though I didn't know it was a girl, but I knew who she was. And when we spent that time with her, it was so important, because it was just the happiest and the saddest 12 hours I've ever experienced in my life. And there's those 12 hours and those 28 weeks I wouldn't change for the world.
Tracy says she can accept that Grace had to die. She's angry, though, about having to travel to England. She's also angry that she couldn't afford to travel back to England 10 days later for Grace's cremation, and that she had to sit at home waiting for a courier company to deliver her ashes.
I think I probably used them the Christmas before for presents.
Was it as undignified as, is it going to be morning or afternoon? I need to know, because I want to be at home. I don't want this package being left on the doorstep.
Well, only for the hospital in Liverpool it would have been. They make sure you have a tracking number, and they ask you to be at home all day so that you don't get a text to say, oh, I'm outside the door, will I throw it over the fence? You know, I was at home all day and I was waiting for the door to knock. It was undignified and unnecessary. Her condition was always going to be her condition. That's just written in the stars, if you want to look at it that way. But what happened after didn't have to happen. And it makes me angry that it had to happen that way.